In this lesson, we're looking at the issue of singing in worship to God, and with it, we're looking at the question of using music in worship to God. Now, to begin with, let's remember that we are under the New Testament today. We're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under the law of Moses. Now, that's very important to remember. If we're going to talk about how we are to worship God today in the church, then we need to go to the New Testament. Because, you see, the church was not established in the Old Testament. It was established in the New Testament. And so when it comes to rules, regulations, and procedures in regard to the church, we have to go to the New Testament to learn about these things. And so we can go back to the Old Testament, and we can find verses of Scripture that mention instrumental music used in worship to God. There's no question about that. There is no doubt that the Jews used instrumental music in worship to God under the old law. But the Jews were under the law of Moses. We today are not. So it wouldn't be right for us to go back to the Old Testament and say, well, we read about the Jews offering animal sacrifices, and that's in the Bible in the Old Testament, so that means that we can offer animal sacrifices today. That wouldn't be right, would it? That just would not follow. It wouldn't follow because we are not under that law. We are under a different law, the New Testament. So the same thing would apply to instrumental music. We can't just go back to the Old Testament and say, well, here's a verse that mentions the people of God in the Old Testament using instruments of music in worship to God. Therefore, that's authority for us today to use them in our worship to God. We can't anymore go back to the Old Testament to get our authority for using music in worship than we can go back to the Old Testament to get authority for offering animal sacrifices or a host of other things that were authorized in the law of Moses. So to the New Testament we go, because we're under that law today. Now here's what we find in the New Testament. We find, for instance, in Ephesians 5, verse 19, that Paul says that we should be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So Paul specifies here. He says that we are to sing psalms, that is, psalms of praise, hymns, that is, songs that are sung in reverence and in devotion to God, and spiritual songs, which means, in a general way, songs about spiritual matters. And as we do this, we are to be singing and making melody in our heart. So the Bible does talk about making melody in the New Testament, but it says the melody is to be in your heart. That's Ephesians 5, verse 19. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, and you have a similar exhortation here. The wording is a little bit different, but notice in Colossians 3, verse 16, that Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now again, that is Colossians 3, verse 16. And he says that as we sing in the worship, we are teaching and admonishing one another. So one of the things that we need to remember about God's will in the New Testament dispensation is that when it comes to this part of the worship where we're singing, that we're not just making sounds. We're teaching, and we're admonishing each other as we sing. And so the singing is to be instructive. So God specified the kind of sounds and the kind of melody that we're to make when we worship Him. The melody is made in the heart, and the sounds are words that teach and admonish spiritual truths. So God specified the kind of music that He wants in worship. He wants us to sing psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, these are not the only passages in the New Testament that talk about singing. There are others. But here's the point. In the New Testament, you never find any kind of authority for using instrumental music in worship to God. you do not find a direct statement saying that we are to use this music. You never find an example that is approved of God. You never find any kind of implication that we are to use it. So there is no hint of any kind of precedent or any kind of pattern in the New Testament for the use of instrumental music in worship to God. Now, let me set forth a parallel example, an illustration, if you will, of the very principle that we're talking about. Let's think about the Lord's Supper. Now, what does the Bible say about the Lord's Supper as far as the food of the Lord's Supper is concerned? What are we supposed to take and eat in the Lord's Supper? Well, it's the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. We know that how? Well, because the Bible tells us. Well, suppose we ask the question, why can't we use some other kind of food? Why can't we replace the food that we normally use on the Lord's table with something else? Why don't we replace the unleavened bread with cornbread, or a hamburger, or a biscuit? And why don't we replace the fruit of the vine with, let's say, Coke, or buttermilk, or some other kind of beverage? Every time that I have asked anyone in any denomination that kind of question, they have always given the same answer. They have always said, well, you can't do that. And I've always asked back the question, why? Tell me why that you cannot change and replace those elements or those items in the Lord's Supper. And the answer usually is something like this. Well, because the Bible tells us what the Lord's Supper is, and it tells us that we're to use the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. That's what God says. That is what the Bible teaches us. Well, now, apply that same reasoning. Apply that same thinking to the issue of singing and music. What does the New Testament tell us to do? It tells us, and it only mentions and authorizes singing in worship to God. There's absolutely no hint of any kind of authorization for using mechanical instruments of music in worship. It's just not there. And so, if we understand that we're not to take the Lord's Supper and add another kind of food to the Lord's table, then we shouldn't take what the Bible says in the New Testament about singing and add other kinds of music to that singing. If it's wrong to add a different kind of food to the Lord's table, then it's wrong to add another kind of music to the kind of music that God told us to use, and that is singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now, I have known of some churches that have actually used a different kind of food or different foods on the Lord's table other than the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. I've known of some churches, especially when they're dealing with young people, to use even pizza and Pepsi for the Lord's Supper, or cookies and Kool-Aid when they've served it to young people. But most of the people that I have discussed this issue with would say, you can't do that. That's not right, and you should not change the food on the Lord's table. Now, when we reason like that, we're getting to the bottom of the issue of using music in worship to God today, because the very reason for not having this different kind of food is the very reason from the Bible that we are not to use any other kind of music. Let me ask a few other questions. And some of these are issues that you're more familiar with than others, but I hope that they'll all make the same point. If somebody were to ask you, what's wrong with praying to Mary and praying to Peter, what would you say? Now, if you're of the Catholic faith, you're not going to see anything wrong with those things. But if you follow the New Testament, as we're talking about, where would you find authorization for praying to Mary and praying to Peter in the Bible? Well, you would simply say, there is no authority in the Bible for doing that, because the Bible says to pray to God through Jesus Christ. And so the Bible doesn't have to say, thou shalt not pray to Mary. The Bible doesn't have to say, thou shalt not pray to Peter. Because when the Bible tells us to pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, that's what we need to know and that's what we need to do. So the same thing applies, you see, in principle, to issues like the Lord's Supper. Where does the Bible say that we're not to use hamburgers and Cokes on the Lord's table? Where does it specifically say that we cannot do that? Well, it doesn't. But it does tell us exactly what we are to do. In the same way, where does the Bible say that you can't use a guitar or a piano or an organ in worshiping God? Well, it doesn't. But it does tell us exactly what we are to do. And that is to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And did you know that most denominations used to teach that the only music that they were to have in church was singing and not instruments of music and worship? Did you know that most denominations used to be opposed to using instruments of music and worship to God? For instance, in the 1200s, the Catholic Church would not use instruments of music in worship. Thomas Aquinas said, "The Church does not make use of instruments such as harps and psalteries in the divine praises for fear of seeming to imitate the Jews." Aquinas also said that musical instruments move the soul to pleasure rather than create a good disposition within it. And so they said, "We're not going to use these instruments of music in worship to God." The Greek Orthodox Church, which broke away from the Catholic Church in 1054, declared instrumental music in worship forbidden. And did you know that the leaders, the founders of the mainline Protestant denominations opposed the use of instrumental music in worship to God? Martin Luther opposed it. John Calvin opposed it. John Wesley opposed the use of instrumental music in worship to God. Adam Clark, a Methodist commentator, said that the use of such instruments of music in the Christian church is without the sanction and against the will of God, and he said that they are subversive of the spirit of true devotion and that they are sinful. Adam Clark was a Methodist commentator. As a matter of fact, one of the most well-known Methodist commentators who ever lived. Now, I'm not trying to say that just because these men said it, that means that what they said is true. I'm not saying that because they were opposed to instruments of music and worship, that that proves that instrumental music and worship to God is wrong. I am saying that somebody has changed. Most mainline denominations have changed on this point. And that ought to make people in those denominations ask the question, why did the founders of this particular group oppose the use of music in worship to God? Well, they looked to the scriptures and they said, we're not under the Old Testament law, we're under the New Testament, and we can find nothing in the New Testament to authorize its use. And so what we've been talking about is not some kind of human Church of Christ tradition, as people would call it. It is something that used to be acknowledged by many, in fact, most religious leaders, and it's only been within the past several generations that there's been a change made in attitudes toward the question of singing and music and worship. But if we simply follow the New Testament, then the pattern is going to be clear. We will simply sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord.